When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Radio for a really great future.
We're talking real money.
Real money issues affect all of us. We all deal with our money almost all the time. You're out working hard for it. You're really good at spending it. You may not be so good at saving it, and investing it baffles the living daylights out of you. That's why we're here, to talk about money in a real fashion, although apparently we do fail at that because we use jargon and we need to stop using jargon.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, we get caught up in it too because we're, you know, you're in the industry and we say things like ETFs. Well, you know, we forget that people don't know what an ETF is or whatever else it might be that we talk about.
Many
things.
We're sorry.
We'll try to clarify more if we remember, but we're old. Our phone number is 855-935-TALK if you would like to join us and talk with us about things that are important to you, which is the way we know what is important to you. You tell us.
And we love that more than anything else, too, by the way.
Such an efficient system. Well, anything really else? Anything else?
No, I don't know. Sitting in the sun near a pool after being freezing all winter.
And it's only, it's only 54 minutes to do that again.
I'll last.
All right. He'll make it. He'll do it. I have faith. Anyway, I'm Don McDonald. I'm in Florida where the weather is lovely. Tom? Yeah. Well, he's not in Seattle where the weather is not. No, instead, he's in Scottsdale, Arizona for a brief family vacation. And Tom is a big believer in the power of the family vacation.
Ah, man, I love it. They take about 18 of them a year. Okay, might be a tad high.
Last time, it seemed like a week or two ago, I was talking to you from Hawaii.
Well, that's true, but this time it was only the three of us.
And then Chelan.
You're right. Okay. You know what? But I'm reading this book right now called, I got to make sure I get the hell, Die with Zero.
You're trying to spend it all?
I think he's right. I mean, this is because I spent money this week, and you're right, more than I'd like to, but I spent
but it on something I love doing.
Having everybody here. It was great to me. So I loved it. So whatever. And last time we had a nice party with a bunch of local friends that we have here. To me, there's nothing better. I just love that. So
that's why I told Deb, I said, when, you know, we have this Airstream, let's make it nice. Let's go do something with it. We can afford
it. You're getting so many people who are writing you about, you got to come to my neighborhood. Here's what I want.
Do you know, we've had like three or four people tell me I have to visit the Glass Museum in Corning, New York.
I never thought of that. Are you going to see the second largest barn of yarn?
Ball of twine.
Yeah, somewhere in the Midwest.
I can't imagine. Yeah, I don't want to see the largest. The second largest. No. Anyway, call us 855-935-TALK. We often mention the need for those who advise you about money to be what we call a fiduciary. And what a fiduciary is supposed to do is at all times act in your best interests. And if there is even an appearance of potential impropriety or a conflict of interest, fully disclose those to the clients. Now, a lot of people in this industry want to make you believe that they are fiduciaries, but they're not. They sell products, they get commissions, they lie. But there are some true fiduciaries who often have conflicts of interest. And Tom, real fiduciaries, one, have conflicts, and two, mitigate those?
Well, a fiduciary has a conflict because they want you to be their client, right? That's a conflict because on this show, we try to give you sort of conflict-free advice. Yes, you could hire us, but if you don't, go do X, Y, because it should work well. But there's all kinds of ways, right? Well, I'll give you an example. Claiming Social Security. Now, you know that most people, it's going to make better financial sense to wait until age 70, especially a higher earner in a relationship, because that benefit goes up by 8% a year after the full retirement age. And it's so dramatic, the difference on a monthly basis.
Oh, I'm so glad I'm waiting.
Me too. But here's the thing. Many times, even fiduciaries will tell you, no, go ahead and claim it at 65. And by the way, I just read the average Social Security claimant for working with a fiduciary takes it at 65 because they'd rather hang on to the money they're managing and charge you a fee on that.
Right. They don't want to let you take it out and reduce how much they make. And we want to talk a little bit throughout the program about some of the things that fiduciaries can do to, again, mitigate these conflicts.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
In medicine, a second opinion might save your life. With investing, a second opinion might save your future. The trick is getting one without a high-pressure sales pitch. Not sure. Maybe. Listening to Talking Real Money, you know that our goal is to help everyone.
I'm checking to make sure he's still there.
By investing and managing.
I'm checking to make sure he's still there.
That's why. In addition to helping everyone on our show and podcast,
is Ryan still there?
We are also committed to making our 100% fiduciary advisors at Appella available to help everyone make the best financial decisions based on science.
Cool.
So, all right. We're being pitched a financial product or a system. Make sure you
We're going to a caller next.
With no cost, no obligation, and no annoying sales pitch by going to talkingrealmoney.com or call 800-386-3004. That's 800-386-3004 or talkingrealmoney.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
You have to be careful with your money because a lot of people claim to be fiduciaries and just aren't. But some true fiduciaries, even they have conflicts of interest. And we mentioned this in the last hour or yesterday's podcast, depending on when you're listening, how people who act as fiduciaries might be violating their fiduciary responsibility if they move you from a 401k into an IRA or a Roth IRA. If the 401k has better, less expensive, or at least comparable or less expensive products, that you would be violating your fiduciary responsibility to move it into a managed IRA where you'd get a fee for that, wouldn't you?
You would be. And there's also other ones, I mean, that you need to pay attention to and you need to know. Because at the end of the day, if you're paying someone a fee to manage your money, right, the amount of money that you have there, if it goes up, then they make more. If it goes down, they make less. And sometimes you hear this from
Fisher.
Mr. Fisher says, the more you make, the more we make. Well, okay. Yeah, that's true of everybody, by the way, not just him. But it's something to pay attention to. We briefly mentioned Social Security strategies where for most people it makes sense to wait. Yes, you do need to live 10 years after you claim it to make the numbers work. But for most people, waiting until age 70 makes sense, although it's still less than 10% of us who do. And the average for people that are being worked with by a fiduciary advisor, it's only 65 where they start claiming, which seems very young to me because that's even before full retirement age. But there's another one because this has come up. And many people have said, hey, wait, what about paying off the mortgage? Should I take all this money out of my investment accounts and pay off the mortgage? And generally, of course, you've heard us say it on the program, Don, where, well, if it's 2.5% or 3%, no way. That doesn't make sense to pay
that off. But if it's 7, maybe.
If it's 7, it may, because it's expensive money, right? And there's still this other aspect of the mental, the emotional part of all this for some people paying off the mortgage. Here's a number that I found fascinating. 65 and older, people 65 and older, those really old people, I can say that because I'm a member of them. Now it's almost 30% of us have a mortgage. I have a mortgage. Don has a mortgage. That is double from where it was in 2019. A lot more people. Now, I was also thinking that maybe because they got those great deals in 2020 when rates were at 2.5.
I'm not letting my mortgage go.
No, I'm not going to pay mine down early. I could, but it doesn't make sense. But that's something to pay attention to as well. But here's the good news. And I know we're picking on fiduciary advisors a little bit. That's fine because you should always be paying attention no matter who you're working with. But here's the bigger one I see. And I just saw twice more recently where somebody walked into an office, were told they were working with a fiduciary, and then both times got sold an annuity. And one was in a Roth IRA. I mean, that's outrageous to move money from a Roth into an annuity. You already have tax-free growth, so you're paying for things you don't need. You never should have that Roth in an annuity. And in the other case, the woman just frankly didn't need an annuity. She had all kinds of other income. So no fiduciary is going to sell you into that. But the other ones, yeah, those are worth paying attention to. You know, just handing your money to somebody and sort of skipping on down the street and not paying attention to what they're doing with it is not a good strategy. You really do need to pay attention to this.
855-935-TALK. Call. We love to talk with you. And Ryan, thanks for waiting and welcome to Talking Real Money.
Thank you for having me. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I am doing all right. Thank you so much for asking. I got a quick question about the target retirement funds that are in my 401k plan at work. I took a look at them and I noticed that the bond portion, although it's relatively small, it's split between 70% US and 30% international. And I don't hear you talk much about international fixed income. I want to know what your opinions were on that and what the split really should be.
You know, that's a pretty reasonable split, actually. Here's the thing. For many, many years, we told people you really didn't need international bonds because the United States, specifically government-issued bonds, have always paid you back. You really don't want to take risk with the bond portfolio, and sort of sending that money overseas might imply additional risk. It turns out that kind of over the long haul, diversifying your bond portfolio is kind of like diversifying your stock portfolio, right? There's differences. There's differences with interest rates and currencies, all that kind of stuff that sort of it levels it out a bit in a way that we really hadn't anticipated for a long time. And now it appears it makes sense to have that. So,
but it's not as dramatic, though, as the U.S. international split with stocks, which makes it less critical. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
But for individuals who are managing their own portfolio without a target date, to suggest they throw in international just muddies the water and complicates the process. So if they're in there already, there's nothing wrong with them, right?
No, I think that's fine. I would go ahead and do that. I mean, and so nothing wrong with a 70-30 split there. And, you know, again, in a target date fund, you have balance between stocks and bonds as well. So I love that.
So you're good.
All right. That sounds perfect.
Thank you. Ryan, thank you so much for being there. 855-935-8255 is our phone number. And Peter, you're next. Welcome to the show.
Yes, sir, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, 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 Peter. Thank you.
Good, good. Yeah, I'll be 65 this year. I got my military retirement. I've got a good job, a couple 401ks. And I don't know what to do by way of like tax planning or maybe going to somebody. Maybe you can recommend somebody for me that could help me sort things out, like, you know, what I should do with the money I have and come up with a plan. Can you help me out there? Know anyone?
Yeah, we do know people.
There's a guy in a closet over here.
Yeah, I don't know. There's some guy down at Scottsdale right now.
Yeah, I don't see him. Very busy. So, yeah.
What is it? You're looking for a withdrawal plan, how to take money out. You're getting ready to retire?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I should or shouldn't. You know, I just want to look at what I have.
You need a financial plan. You need a financial plan. That's what you need. You need a robust, you don't necessarily need an advisor. You need someone to write up a plan that takes into account all the things you have and based on all of this. And a good financial plan is going to look at your current income levels, your spending levels in the future, your portfolio, what it can generate, Social Security, your pension, all of those things get wrapped into a good plan.
Yeah. And how do you find that? Yes, well, we have a list of some at our website that are fee only fiduciary advisors who write financial plans, who put plans at the center of what they do. And I believe you go to talkingrealmoney.com and click
/help.
talkingrealmoney.com/help. You know, that's a starting place because there's other ways. And I looked at, because I just went and looked up for somebody in the Midwest who wanted a local advisor. So I used Dimensional Funds website to look at the advisors there. But I found some astounding. I actually did the research, Don. You'd be proud of me. I found a couple of advisors that use Dimensional Funds that are charging over 2% a year.
Oh, yeah. No, there are a bunch of them. There are a bunch of them.
Wow.
But I'm not even saying you need an advisor necessarily. I mean, you could. Let me just tell you how, I'll tell you how you can kind of even get what you're looking for nothing. A basic overview. You just go to our website, to Talking Real Money, and click on Meet an Advisor. You can spend a half hour to an hour with an advisor looking over your portfolio who can kind of say, yeah, you're on track or you're not on track.
And here's how to,
and that's free.
The income. Yeah,
I mean,
here's how to create the
that's
income,
really so. Free. We're not even going to try and sell you anything. I mean, we write plans, but you don't need, and if you don't need one, they'll tell you you don't. Now, I believe personally that it, once you, particularly once you're getting close to retirement, that everybody should probably spend the $1,500 or whatever it is for a plan.
$2,500. Inflation.
Inflation. Is it $2,500? I don't remember. I haven't done one in a while.
Yes, it is.
All right. So $2,500 for a plan. 855-935-TALK.
Tom and Don are talking real money. For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
I got a text from the boss during the break.
How many pages is the $2,500 plan?
He said, by the way, we can go back to the 15 if Don will take a 40% haircut. So is that okay with you? Maybe I just need to see.
Later this month, my hair is going to need a 40% haircut.
I see that kind of cut, but I think he's talking more of the financials.
It better be a lot of pages. How big is that thing?
Here's the thing about the $2,500, which at one level sounds expensive, but at another, really, it's not, because it's several parts. Yes, we analyze your entire portfolio, which is and
which takes a while. Trust me, I've done some of that,
and
particularly on some of your portfolios.
Yeah, and trying to clean it up.
Annuities.
Part two is the retirement income part, which is what the gentleman, and thank you, Peter, for your military service, is the most sophisticated part, because that takes quite a bit of work. But here's the other one. The tax, because we use tax software too as part of that to plug it all in to make sure you're going to.
Oh, so there's a tax plan too with this.
Yeah, there's more.
So it's not just a financial plan, it's a tax plan.
Mm-mm. Yeah, there's a lot to it. So
and it's a tax withdrawal plan, that kind of thing.
Exactly. And frankly, if you came in and said, like we had a caller last hour about Roth conversions, we could run that for you and say, here's the numbers. It makes sense or it doesn't make sense. So there's a lot to it. So, yeah, it's
all right.
It's well worth $25.
Didn't we used to charge $15?
Yes, you were correct. That was a long time ago.
I'm old. So, time flies.
It does. So anyway, yeah. And by the way, a long time ago, just for grins, you know, I'm literally right off the street where we used to have our office here in Scottsdale.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right down the road there. So drove by the other day. Thought, oh, that kind of brings back some memories, I guess.
Sad.
Or not.
So. You want a call that called in? Like, this is recorded.
Well, how much time do we have here before? Oh, yeah, we got time.
Funny,
go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, go.
Hold on. I have to actually turn on the right audio channel instead of hitting the wrong one.
My name is Richard. I have a message, question for my daughter and son-in-law. He's working and contributing to a 401k, and she's working self-employed. If he maxes out his 401k, can he still contribute to a Roth? And how much can he contribute to the Roth? And can she contribute to her Roth at the same time? Thank you.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, that will depend on their
income. Yeah.
Yeah, because if their income, I always use 200,000. If their income's greater, the household income's greater than 200,000, then no. But if it's less as a household, then sure, you can put money in your 401k, and then you can also contribute to a Roth IRA. And if they're under the age of 50, I think it's $7,000 a year, something like that.
If they make too much to qualify for Roths, they can still do it. They just have to do it the back door way.
Yeah, you do a tricky back door. So you simply put money into an individual retirement
regular
account. Next day, move it. Yeah, the traditional, move it into a Roth IRA, and those same amounts apply. And I think it's $8,000 now, right, for people over 50.
For old people like us.
Why do they mess with us old people? Leave the number the same so I can remember it every year. But anyway, I think it's $7,000 for 50 and under, $8,000, I believe, for 50 and over. So it's substantial either way.
Let me just double check. I think 7 and 8 is
correct.
You
didn't even know how much we charge for a plane.
I don't know anything. Yes, it's 7 and 8. It's 7 and 8.
Okay.
And let's see what the Roth income limits are.
Yeah, I think it's like 208,000.
Yeah, I think it's 208.
Anyway, so but they changed that too. And back at home I have that right in front of me, but not here on the road, so.
Oh, no, it's 240 for a couple.
Wow,
240.
Okay. So I got to change my.
Yeah, you got to change your weight. Take it to a quarter of a million almost.
It's a lot of money. So anyway, yes, the answer is yes to all those things. And that's great. If you can save in both places, sure. Absolutely. And I love the idea for young people to save both traditional and Roth.
Here's what doesn't make sense to me. The fact that they put an income limit on making a contribution to a Roth, and yet, even if you're above that income, you could still make a contribution to a Roth.
I don't get
it. No sense at
that's
all.
That's the only part of the tax code that doesn't make sense to
I know,
you,
but
really?
No. I mean, come it on. Totally makes no sense. It's just like, it really? You allow us? And
I remember the first time I heard about it, I couldn't believe it.
And apparently, Congress is too stupid to figure out how to fix it. They don't even take it up. It's like
or too busy.
Too busy doing what? Being stupid.
Other pressing matters.
Arguing with each other. 855-935-8255 is our phone number. If Tom and I can get along, Congress should be able to get along. 855-935-8255. Give us a call. We are talking about your life and your real money.
Tom and Don are talking real money. Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
We often hear the refrain from folks, hey, Tom, Don, why don't you guys do more social media? Well, one, we tried that and it didn't work. Nobody watched. Probably because we're old. Really old. And apparently, people who are young like to listen to young people giving advice like this.
The main reason why people aren't millionaires, in my opinion, is because they're looking at money from the wrong angle. They're saying, how can I make $1 million a year? When they should be saying, how can I make $2,739 a day? If you think like that, every day you hit that goal, you'll...
So all you have to do is figure out a way to make $2,700 a day.
And, you know, when you said that, I started thinking, how could I make that today? Because here I am in the desert. There's got to be, I could go buy bottled water at Costco and then go somewhere else and sell a lot of water or something. Or the gold bars we're talking about, you know, something like
2,739 bottles of Costco water.
That sounds
at $1.15 a bottle. Because you can buy it for about 15 cents a bottle. Yeah, so there you go. In 1 year, you will be a millionaire thanks to that young person's fine advice.
That means I got to work every day, right?
It's so funny, though. Another reason why we don't is because, according to SoFi, the financial company.
Yeah, I know they have a stadium, but
they have a stadium. They lend money to people. They're a lender.
Okay, I didn't know who it was. So,
according to SoFi, people our age, Tom, between 60 and 80, basically, we don't use social media.
Do we have to be lumped in?
We do not use social media for financial advice, pretty much at all.
Of the people that do, 9% of them take it from Facebook.
Because if you're an old person, the only social media you're going to go on is Facebook. Yeah. However, if you're young, 18 to, what does that say?
26. Yeah.
Almost everybody in that age group gets their financial advice from social media.
But the number one, did you see the number one?
This kid was on TikTok.
That's the number 30, one out of three kids, young people, pardon me, get their investing advice or content from TikTok. Really?
Yeah. I remember being in my 20s. I remember it really well. I started giving financial advice in my 20s for a profession, for a living. And it was by far the worst financial advice I ever gave over my entire career was the stuff I gave in my 20s when I thought I knew more than anybody else. And now I know 40 years later that today I still don't know more than everyone else.
Well, thankfully, those people you gave advice to 40 years ago probably no longer around.
They forgive me.
They forgave you. Okay.
I put them in loaded mutual funds and traded options and bought individual stocks and the U.S. Government Plus Fund from Dean Witter. Gee, what?
U.S. Government Plus. That was always the best.
Oh, yeah. Enhanced income.
Yeah, enhanced income. That one I found shocking. I find the whole thing shocking because I guess, as you said, because we're old. But then you start to move up the ladder a little bit. Those between the ages of 27 and 42, the two biggest for them, Facebook and Reddit. I thought the Reddit thing was over. Wasn't that part of
No. Reddit is still there. Reddit was the meme. That was the meme stock thing, and they're still paying attention. And you know what else there is a lot of in that age group on the socials? Crypto-y stuff. There's a lot of crypto advice.
I don't think you should trust any of that.
No.
No offense. I'm sure there's some smart people on all those channels.
Generally speaking, you're probably better off avoiding it at all costs.
Apparently, we all get a little bit smarter at age 43 because 43 to 58.
Here's another one.
50. That's
a course or Discord groups or whatever. Because it feels like a very simple yet sophisticated way to make money with stocks when it really isn't, which is pretty obvious when you see how traders on social media will react to making a bit of money. It's not like, oh, that was a expected outcome. It's, thank God.
The stuff they're just the advice they're giving them. It's all get rich quick stuff, and it's best avoided. 855-935-TALK is our phone number, 855-935-8255. Stop by, give us a call. We'll talk about money.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Do you suffer from hodgepodgeitis? I'm Don McDonald, and hodgepodgeitis is a disease of your investment portfolio whose symptoms include lots of stocks, loads of random loaded mutual funds, and maybe an annuity or two. Most who suffer from hodgepodgeitis dread opening their quarterly portfolio statements. They feel lost and confused. Investing seems overwhelming and the financial future uncertain. If you believe you suffer from hodgepodgeitis, see a 100% fiduciary investment advisor immediately. A proper diagnosis is the first step to creating a portfolio with a purpose based on a personal plan. Start on the road to recovery now by scheduling a free meeting with an Appella advisor at TalkingRealMoney.com. There is no cost, obligation, or high-pressure sales pitch. Take the first step at TalkingRealMoney.com or call 800-386-3004. Hodgepodgeitis is not a real disease, but treating it has been shown to improve mood, reduce fear, and even lead to a brighter financial future. Results may vary.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
And we're going to move on to calls in a minute, but first, I have one more incredible bit of advice from you. This is from TikTok. It's from a guy whose handle is It's Alpha Status. Ready?
Try not to.
At the top three penny stocks to buy now, and for everybody that doesn't get in, I believe many people are going to regret it. This stock right here is number one. It went up over 10,900% today, and everybody inside of my private community got in early because all I do is call bangers because I am the best penny stock caller in the game. And if you want to join my private community, you know where to go and you know what to click. I got two more runners for you in this video. Now, for everybody wondering, guys, I do not trade big cap stocks because it's a lie, because all they do is go up 5 to 10% year over year. And if you're only investing a small amount of money, you'll never get rich by only getting 5 to 10% every single year. This is stock number two right here.
There you go. You'll never.
Yeah,
you'll never get rich.
I guess he didn't listen to the other person who said you don't need to. All you need to make is $2,700 a day, and you make $1 million a year.
Right,
it was easy. So.
And the stock that he was recommending, by the way, at the time he was recommending it, it was $7 a share, It has since dropped to 5 in a year, 4. And
we wanted a big move, so yeah.
And so this is the kind of garbage you get, though. You got a nice hip hop rhythm going in the background.
Love the music.
Yeah,
we need a little more of that.
You got a guy telling you that 5 to 10% per year, you're just not going to get rich. Well, using his advice, you're going to get poor.
There's another direction to go as well.
You're going to get poor. 855-935-TALK is our phone number, 855-935-8255. John, you're up. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hey, thank you. Couple of quick things. I'm not sure if you have heard of this before, but we had to split up some money into different CDs last year and to be within the FDIC limits. And we got 1099s from 4 of them, but Chase Bank said that because it didn't pay out in 23, that I wouldn't get a 1099 and that would be on a 2024 1099.
Yeah. But, yeah, because it was probably a 1-year CD.
Correct.
That they'll pay the interest at the end of the term.
So some banks can do that, I guess. The other 4 banks didn't, so it kind of surprised us that 1 out of 5.
It depends on when the interest is paid. Some CDs pay interest quarterly or semi-annually. Others don't pay until the end of the year. The term of the CD.
The term of the note, correct.
Okay. The other question came up when I was in the bank, and is the manager was saying that they've got a product, you know, to buy U.S. debt, and it's kind of like a CD, but you have better access to the money, but it's I don't know if it's more volatile or not, but it sounded like you have a better chance of making a higher rate, and it's more liquid. So have you heard of this, or do you have any idea what?
It sounds like a mutual fund at first blush, glance. It sounds like a mutual fund because a mutual fund would have volatility, could get
you
in.
You get the money anytime.
Yeah, and you get the money anytime.
It can go down.
But it can go down.
It can't go down.
Oh, it can't go down?
And that cannot go down. And after, like, if you get it for 2 years, the first year at 5%, it's basically the same rate as CDs, but you have it's liquid. You could actually take it out in 10 months and you would get the interest that you earned during that 10 months. But if you waited till the second year and then the interest rates went down, like the market goes down and you're not making as much and you sell it, you still make, I don't want to go into the whole.
Yeah. Okay. No, I think I know what you're talking about because we use it for our homeowners association. It's a treasury management program where they buy a portfolio of treasuries and they get a fee for doing that, but it's not a big fee. I don't know what the downside is of these because they're relatively new, these treasury management solutions.
Okay. Well, it just sounded like it's an option because we want to put some money into our house and, so it'd be nice to be able to.
My guess is the risk is very low.
Savings account.
My guess is the risk is really low. I don't know what the fee structures look like, but they've got to be charging a fee. But I'll do some more checking on what the fees are.
And then
I'll
do that. I'll let you know if I find out anything, that might interest your audience.
Yeah, if you can get it, that'd be great. I'm looking for it right now to see if I can find a fee. But these treasury management accounts, there must be somebody out pitching them because every single bank is doing them. I'm just looking down the list.
That always suggests to me that somebody's making a buck behind this thing. That makes
sense. Oh, yeah. No, and that's
something on it.
Yeah, they got, I'm all for that. I just like to know what it, I'd like to know what it is, though. I like to know the number. So I'm going to find the number. But thank you very much for bringing that up. We'll find out more.
Okay.
All right, John. All right. Thanks so much for being there. Take care. 855-935-8255. Michael, you're up next.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. I have a friend who is 80 years young. He has a $300,000 home, and he has a $90,000 mortgage on that home. he doesn't want to work anymore. So he was considering a reverse mortgage. And I wanted to ask if you guys had any thoughts on that.
Well, I think first at 80, you should be allowed to retire. So, yes, I'm with you there. I think that's, you know, 80 years young, 80 years old, whatever it is. Here's the thing. If you have the home of the value said 300, you owe 90 on it. Here's the issue you're going to face. And I'm not opposed to reverse mortgages as a last resort. I think for some people, they make sense because that's where you can go get some money, get the equity. But it's going to be pretty narrow. They've reduced how much you can take out equity-wise. So if you're already only looking at $200,000 in equity in the home, I don't know how much you can go borrow then that might make it worthwhile to do it. That's the issue you're going to face because they tightened all that up a few years ago when they changed some of the rules on these reverse mortgages.
Yeah, so the house is worth
300.
You got
90.
90, so we got 2000. Yeah,
and then you got the expenses up front on that. I mean, so you squeeze out 100 maybe or 100 and a quarter or something in terms of the actual money that he could take. Would that be a help?
Yeah, I think it probably would.
Yeah. Then it probably, you know,
sure.
They're so much cleaner than they used to be.
Oh, much. Yeah.
The federal government has really instituted a lot of rules. The problem is, I'm trying to remember what the maximum equity is, and if I remember, it is. I think it's like for 50. Some reason, I think it's 60.
Maybe 60%.
60%. So
you're not looking at a lot of money.
You're not looking at much money, but you know, sometimes when you reach that point in life, you know, it could be 50. I think it's 50 to 60. So somewhere in that area. But yeah, is it worth looking into? Of course, because it could just make the life just a little bit better.
Yeah.
And so,
and if, not working.
And, yeah, and I mean, yeah, it's kind of a nice thing to stop working at some point.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yeah, look into it. I think it's worthwhile. Most of the time, I would say not, but in this case, yeah.
They got way oversold. I mean, like a lot of other things, there's just too many of them. So,
yep. Well, we still have a little time. If you want to call us, you can still do it. 855-935-TALK. That's the number. 855-935-8255. I mean, 8255 is the actual number.
Tom and Don are talking real money. For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
I found a great piece of TikTok advice. Work until your bank account looks like a phone number.
So how many digits?
It's a lot.
Eight, it's seven.
10 digits. 10 digits.
I see with the area
10
code.
Digits. Okay. Yeah, with the area code. Right. Yeah, 10 all digits. Right. Yeah.
Fair enough.
You just keep, that's good the advice. Just keep working until you get to that number.
That's how you end up at 80.
I am on TikTok now just looking at and it's just really, lots of it is crypto.
How do you find it? You just go to TikTok?
You go to TikTok and type it's hashtag investing.
Okay. There you go.
Here, I mean, I can just grab one randomly. Here, let's just grab one randomly.
It's important that you should have been taught in school, but you weren't.
This is one good Airbnb property can literally set you financially free. And the crazy thing is, you don't even have to own that property. I make multiple seven figures with 100 plus Airbnbs. And the fact is, I don't own most of them. It's called...
I stole them from someone else. I'm a squatter. No, what's it called?
Rental arbitrage model. Basically, you're renting an apartment or a house to sublease legally to rent it on Airbnb, and you make rent on top of your rent.
Oh, landlord's got to love that.
Rent on rent. And that works until
it doesn't work. And by the way, they call that passive, but it sounds like a job.
Well, you got to get to the $2,700 a day. I want to make a million a year. That's my new number now. I'm going to start figuring every day I'm going to wake up. I got to make 27.
No, what you need to do starting tomorrow, no, when you get back home, because you won't want to go outside anymore, is start TikToking.
That's true.
While you still can, before the government requires it be sold off or shut down. So get TikToking.
What's a third of the young people going to do when they shut that down and you can't get your investing advice? Where are they going to go? Where are they going to get it from?
Back to Reddit.
Oh, okay. So they'll be okay, is what you're saying.
I'm sure somebody's going to fill that hole somehow. Oh, and by the way, a lot of it I'm looking at, a lot of it is some sort of pyramid scheming. Where you buy something,
make people rich,
and then you resell the something, and so there's
don't be last.
There are a lot of cons, and it's funny how we all have to learn. Isn't it true? Every generation goes through this learning the hard way thing. They don't listen to us. They're going to learn the hard way that this is not great investing advice, and that, by the way, you don't get rich quickly without taking lots of risk and working your tail off. You just don't.
It's not even investing advice. It's just speculating. It's
all betting speculating.
Advice, you know. Yeah. It's,
well, because you can only make 5 to 10% per year in the stock market. That's never going to get you anywhere. And if you not want enough. That kind of really dull, boring advice on your portfolio, well, meet with one of our advisors. They're not going to tell you to rental arbitrage Airbnbs. I guarantee it. They don't suggest that, do they?
No.
Okay.
There's none of that.
None of that.
They do not. Thank you for asking.
But they'll take a look at your portfolio and tell you what you've been doing, whether you've been doing right or doing wrong. And it's free. No, really free. It's not like those free consultations. You hear some guy on the radio, hey, call our office for a free consultation. No. This is like free help. You're just going to get helped for free. And they're not going to charge you anything or they're even pitch you anything. So go to TalkingRealMoney.com, click on that button that says Meet an Advisor.
The opinions and views expressed on this podcast were current on the date recorded. Opinions, estimates, forecasts, and statements of financial market trends that are based on current market conditions constitute our judgment and are subject to change without notice, including any forward-looking estimates or statements which are based on certain expectations and assumptions. Although information and opinions given have been obtained from or based on sources believed to be reliable, no warranty or representation is made as to their correctness, completeness, or accuracy. Information presented on the podcast is not personalized investment advice from Appella Wealth. The views and strategies described may not be suitable for everyone. This podcast does not identify all the risks, direct or indirect, or other considerations which might be material to you when entering any financial transaction. Past performance does not guarantee future results, and profitable results cannot be guaranteed. We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. The podcast is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Wealth, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Please see Appella Wealth's ADV Part 2A on our website for information regarding Appella's fees and services. Appella Capital, LLC, DBA Appella Wealth, is an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. The firm only transacts business in the states where it is properly registered or excluded or exempt from registration requirements. Registration with the SEC or any state securities authority does not imply a certain level of skill or training. Appella does not provide tax or legal advice, and nothing either stated or implied here should be inferred as providing such advice. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and important disclosure related to performance of any specific index or fund quoted in this podcast.
And the lawyers get richer.